get you.
I gotta carry all these chairs.
Yeah, I can't have my feet up here.
No. The bass.
I love it.
Hey everybody! Welcome back to the Pass the Salt podcast. My name is Hope, and today we have Rachel, as almost always, and we have Caleb. So today, special guest star. So today, we are going to be continuing our seminar series, our Revive seminar series, and today we have Rachel and Caleb because they both, they gave a seminar together, and we are here to kind of recap that for you. So if you have attended the seminar at Revive, welcome back, and if you haven't heard the seminar at Revive, welcome.
I believe that this was titled at Revive, Singleness and Waiting was our title there. And I actually think I'm just going to read our little blurb here because it's really good. So this is your intro paragraph. In our daily lives between school, friends, and social media, we often feel pressure to pursue relationships because those around us are dating. So, how do we as Christians trust what the Lord says about relationships without being swayed by the conventions of the world? In this seminar, we will explore seasons of waiting, standards that we should set for our relationships, and the Lord's design for relationships we build with one another. So that's our intro there. Do you want to pray this one?
Yeah. Okay. I think I can pray.
Sure.
That's cool. Yeah. Sweet. All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for just the words that were spoken at Revive and the words that we get to recap here today. God, I just pray that the words that are spoken will be from you, and that everything else will fall away, and that ultimately we will just follow your spirit's prompting, and that what we need to talk about, we will talk about, and what we don't, we don't. God, we just thank you for, again, this time and the people that are listening, and for Rachel and for Caleb for saying yes to this and being willing to share the words that you've put on their hearts. And yeah, we commit this time to you, and we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
The passing of the torch.
Or the passing of the salt shaker.
Hold
on.
We should have like a salt shaker that's like, it's your turn to talk.
Hope's gone.
Thank you for joining us as we pass the salt. That's so weird. I don't like it.
Alright, so as Rachel said, we're going to talk a lot about relationships and the period of time before relationships when we are trying to discern the Lord's will for our lives and just waiting. Just listening to him and seeing what he has in store for us. So I just want to say off the rip, we don't have all the answers. And this is something that is a very touchy subject and a very gray area. The Bible doesn't talk a lot explicitly about relationships and about exactly what to do in every situation. So we don't have exactly all the answers, but what we are going to try to do is draw from biblical principles and provide some just general framework of relationships, of discerning the Lord's will, praying to him so that we can better just kind of be led and guided by the Spirit. So we're going to start off with our first section, which is generally consulting the Lord. And this is the most important thing to do in every circumstance, but also especially in when we talk about relationships. And it's something where, yeah, like I said, the Bible doesn't talk a whole lot specifically about relationships. But Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that by testing you might discern what is the will of God, what is his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And that verse just so explicitly lays out that we're not supposed to conform to what the world's standards are for relationships, for dating, for marriage, but we are supposed to consult the Lord in everything. And it says, by discerning, we might discern what the Lord's will is, by testing. So we can pray to him and ask him how to consult him for his wisdom. And so the second thing here is we want to talk about just generally how to surrender. I don't know if you guys have experienced this in your lives, but a lot of times when I think about relationships, I think about how I'm supposed to surrender my desires to the Lord and let him mold me. And so it's not always like a, hey God, this is what I'm going to do, and so he just is going to let me do it. Sometimes it's like a, okay, well, I have this desire, but I have to surrender this over to the Lord first. And the reason we were able to do that is because Jesus surrendered himself to us first on the cross. When he died for us on the cross and gave himself up for us, we are now able to glean wisdom from the Lord, but then also surrender our lives back to him in kind of this beautiful picture, so that we can really be walking with the Spirit. But the question is then, like, why would we even consult Jesus in the first place? Like, why would we surrender to him? I think sometimes when I'm thinking about this, like, I don't really want to. It's not something that comes easy. And so I would say, like, first of all, God knows everything. And so he knows the situation far better than you know it from your one vantage point. Whatever's going on with your feelings and your emotions and the other person's emotions, God knows everything. And so we can trust him with our feelings, with our lives, with our actions. We also just trust him because he died for us to begin with. God has proven trustworthy because of his actions for us on the cross. That's Romans 5:8, is he demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we can trust him with our love because he loved us first. He's working all things out for our long-term good. Romans 8:28, thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah.
We know all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so it says that those that love God and are called according to his purpose, which is us as Christians, as the body of believers, God is working everything out for our good. Mm-hmm. And this is not what we think of as good oftentimes. This is what God has ordained for us and his plan and his purpose for our life, which is oftentimes very different than what we think of it as. I find myself getting caught up in the short term of like, hey, I got these feelings and it feels really good. Like, that's what I want right now.
Yeah.
But that's not what the verse means by good. It means that God is weaving everything together for our long-term good and for his glory. You guys have anything to add to that small section?
I mean, I have kind of heard a little bit of this since we were down in Kentucky. But yeah, I think just like remembering that like long-term good and ultimately for glorifying him. And I know you guys are going to get into this a little bit later, but like a little bit of a jumping ahead just a little bit. Yeah, just the fact
forward.
That, yeah, the call forward that it is ultimately to glorify God, like with our lives, with everything, including our relationships. And I know we're specifically talking about like dating relationships and stuff like that, but I think even in friendships, I think that a lot of these principles that we're talking about can be in some way applied to your platonic relationships, especially between typically like guys and girls. You know, there's that whole debate about platonic relationships and how that works and if it works and all this and that. But I think that even if like people were talking and decided that it wasn't the move to like start dating going forward, a lot of these principles that you guys are going to get into, I think, can also provide a little bit of guidance for how to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that is very important to understand, is like how men and women can coexist together. We consult the Bible as our ultimate authority, and everything in the Bible provides us a very clear picture of how that works. The main way that we can consult Jesus and ask for his wisdom, right, is from the Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible gives us everything that God has written down and ordained to us through the Psalms and the wisdom literature, the prophets, the New Testament. Like, everything in here is for our benefit. And so even though a lot of these things were written a long ago, and the time period is not the same, the general principles that God has given to us remain true throughout history. And so we can look back on the words of the Lord and say, like, okay, well, this is the truth that he has given us about relationships and about how that stuff should work. So, yeah, I guess we should, I don't know, what we're going to do next is kind of provide a biblical framework of relationships in general and how all that works. So I would say, to start back at the very beginning, right? In Genesis, God created male and female. And then, thanks for the best. So Jesus is referencing Genesis in Matthew 19. He says, haven't you read that he who created them in the beginning made them male and female? He's quoting Genesis. And he also says, also quoting from Genesis, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And so Jesus is explicitly laying out the picture that God has created. We have a male and we have a female that are joined together in marriage to become one flesh, and they, in marriage, then can represent more fully who God is. God has created us for relationships. He said that it is not good for man to be alone in the garden, and he created him a partner, Eve, to be with him. Marriage is intended to help us grow in our faith with each other. We're complementary in the way that we can both reflect who God is and then grow our faith, our knowledge, our love for each other, and also for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to understand that while Jesus talks about coming together and joining and being one flesh, that is only when you're married.
Yeah.
In the Bible, dating is still single. And so this is kind of a lot different than the social context that we think of it now, of where, okay, well, you're dating someone, you're together, or you're with somebody, or you're like an item, like you're two. But realistically, when you're still dating people, you still are separate. Your spiritual lives should be separate. You are not yet joined together. And so dating is to determine the purpose of marriage. And so you're looking at the other person, and you're saying, is this person whom I want to spend the rest of my life with? Do they point me to the Lord? Do I find peace and joy with them? Are they increasing my faith? And if the answer is yes, then maybe God is calling you into marriage with that person. But the important thing to note is that in the Bible, we have two different people, men and women, and they display complementary aspects of the Lord. And we are each chasing the Lord with our own lives, and our spiritual walks with each other are separate, not together.
Yeah, I think, again, just like the complementary aspects of, like, are really, really cool. I think looking at those differences and seeing how, like, we can, just represent God in, like, how we act, and also what our, like, natural giftings are, I think, too, is really sweet.
Yeah, so the Bible is the way that we can, right, explain and listen to God, because he's given us the words and the wisdom that is already written down. But there's a lot of things that are not covered in the Bible, and so I often find myself like, God, I just want some more clear instruction about this. Mm-hmm. Or, but that's why we can then pray and ask God for that wisdom and for that discernment. So we have, like, the way that he's written to us, we can read it, and the way that we can offer ourselves back to God is prayer. And so those are the two main ways that we can consult the Lord. I have a couple verses here about prayer.
I can
go for it.
I just have them all, like,
do it.
Weird. Okay, so the first one is Philippians 4:6, and that's, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I'll say, even going on to 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And then we have the next one,
First Peter 5:7.
Okay. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you.
Yep.
And then 1 Thessalonians 5:7. Mine's pray constantly, but also pray without ceasing. I kind of just love that translation of it, whatever it is.
Yep.
Whatever version it is. So,
yeah, and those are just verses that explicitly in the text point us back to the Lord and say, like, we are to consult him in everything. Mm-hmm. We are to be anxious for nothing, because he gives us the peace that transcends all understanding when we offer ourselves to him, pray with him, cast our anxieties on him, just fully be committed to the Lord, and that everything that we are going through, we can give it to the Lord. And he is faithful to love us, to be wise, and to give us the wisdom to lead us in the things that are unclear. And so we can have confidence that we can trust God's trustworthiness and timing, because that's who he is as our Lord and our Savior. He is someone that is never late, never too early. And so even if we don't think things are happening in the correct timing, they are, because God is working things out.
Yeah, I'll kind of, like, add on to that with, like, those two main ways that we consult the Lord being, like, reading our Bible and praying. I think for me sometimes, like, reading my Bible has felt, like, much easier to connect with God, because there's actually, like, physical words written on a page, and, like, I don't have to be like, oh, like, is this you or is it not, because, like, it is if it's the Bible. But just because, like, thinking about, like, the social context that we live in, and, like, how the Bible isn't, like, it can be very personal, but there's a lot of, like, promises in here that were written to specific people, and they're not, like, for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to claim those sometimes. So just, like, I think, like, elevating prayer a little bit of, like, yeah, like, praying for a specific thing and like and like seeing what the Lord does with that. It's because it's like the Bible is not going to be like, okay, if a guy texts you what you're doing at 12:30 in the morning, what should you do? Like, this is what you do. You know, you're not gonna get that in the Bible because that's just not the social context. Like, it was just written so long ago.
Imagine they had
phones
in the Bible.
Oh, gosh. That would be disastrous.
Oh, gosh. The miscommunication happened anyway. So, but even going back to 1 Peter chapter 5, looking at even before verse 7 and verse 5 and 6, it says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself in humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, and then cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Yeah, I think there is a fair amount of humility that has to happen when talking about this topic, and really anything else, when it comes to God's plan for us, is understanding that, and it always brings me back to Job. The story of Job is just like, we have to do an entire like long series about Job, because there's so much in it. Because one every single day. Because like there's so much to unpack there. But the idea when God is telling Job, like, who are you to like question me and my authority? Were you there when I like hung the stars? Were you there when I did all of these things? And Job is like, no, I wasn't there. I'm sorry for like questioning you. And I think this like really approaches like from a similar place where for me, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know everything. And it mentions elders. There are a lot of people who have a lot more life experience than me. I think about like, I've been blessed with like great parents, and I think that I trust them and I'm able to like seek guidance from them. And I know that's not everybody's story, but finding people who have more life experience, finding people who can pour into you, especially for something like this, having an outside perspective is so important, because you are often very blinded by emotions and feelings. It's just natural. And so having somebody on the outside who can see it, who can advise you, and realize that you don't know everything, and that there are people who still don't know everything but may know a little better than you.
They're not being swayed by feelings and stuff.
And find people, find people who are there to support you and that love you and want what's best for you. Because those are the type of people who are going to give you good, solid advice, not because they want you to be in a relationship and be short-term happy, but because they want the long-term good for you, similar to our Father in Heaven, who wants the long-term good that he has to offer us. And so, again, being humble and realizing, I don't know everything, I don't know how this is all going to play out, and understanding that ultimately, you know, it's not ours to micromanage. It's not ours to plan every single detail of how you're going to meet somebody and how long you're going to be together and if you get married and if you have all of these things.
No, 100%. I just think like there's the element of the control that we feel sometimes in a relationship of like, I want things my way.
It's
my
responsibility to go find someone.
Like, I want to feel what I'm going to feel. I want this to be a certain way. And it's like, no, actually, we're called to give our emotions to the Lord. To ask Jesus to change our hearts and our minds if it's not something that we should be entering into. To give us the wisdom to say no to ourselves, even if we feel like we should go a certain direction. I think a big way for me that I've been able to have that humility is through prayer journaling. I think, like, a lot of times I just kind of get stuck in my head about thinking about things a lot. Or like,
you think in circles.
This is not good for me to stay in that mental space of just like not actually what's real, but it's just my feelings mixed with my thoughts, mixed with everything swirling. And so it's just helpful for me to literally just write down, this is what I feel, Lord, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I was thinking about, and just have it like on paper that, okay, well, it's gone. I can like kind of stop thinking about that, give it to the Lord, and then like move on. So
that's good.
Yeah, big fan of prayer journaling.
Yeah.
Get yourself a journal.
Do it.
Or I know you have like 3 unused journals on your shelf right now. Pick them up and start now.
There's like 3 pages written in them.
Yeah, three pages. That's so real. There's like five. I literally could point them out to you where they are.
But yeah, like another thing about pro journaling is you get to like look back and read through it. There was a girl from my youth group. Shout out Maddie Wirt. But she was like, she pointed out one time that like a lot of us take notes during like sermons or we journal or whatever, but we don't like go back and read through them and like see how the Lord is faithful and like how we've matured in our faith. So like, I've loved like going back through my prayer journaling and like seeing me like pouring my heart out, and now it's like, oh, like Lord, you actually did do that. Like you actually were working in that. And like, yeah, just like practicing more gratitude too, because I think it's easy to be like, Lord, please do this thing, and then he does it, and we're like, hey,
on to the next thing.
Let me not thank
you.
Can you
do this other thing? Can you do this other favor for me?
Yeah.
Always on to the next thing.
Absolutely. So that's kind of our section about consulting the Lord, praying, reading the Bible, all sorts of fun stuff.
Make
so.
It happen.
Cool.
Love salt. Love passing the salt. Wait, can you pass it to me?
Oh, yeah, actually. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's the speaking salt.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so the next section we're going to talk about is waiting. Yeah, there's a lot, like I kind of talked about at the beginning, there's a lot of pressure in society to date, to be in a relationship. And yeah, it is... Like, and it's important to recognize that the urgency that is put on, like, I think everything in life, not even just relationships, but do everything as fast as possible, including getting into a relationship. Like, that urgency is from the world. It's the world is telling us that we need to do it right now, and, like, you know, we need to be dating someone now, and we need to be married by 23, have kids by 25, you know, like, something like that. Like, I think that a lot of us have kind of, like, mental, like biological clocks, and yeah, just recognizing that like that's not how the Lord works. He doesn't you don't just give him your timeline and he makes everything work. Like he knows way better than us. So yeah, but it's definitely hard to be like I don't know, to be just single when you're seeing like everyone around you, everyone on your Instagram, or even like the kind of TV and movies that we watch. Like I don't even know if I could think of like a popular TV show recently or movie that didn't have at least a subplot of romance. Like it's very intertwined in like how we live, so it's really hard to like let go of that and trust that the Lord's timing is the best. So yeah, like, it's very difficult to trust the Lord's timing, and I think oftentimes we want to rush into relationships, but I'll just say this, just because they're a good Christian doesn't mean that they are your spouse.
Snatch for that.
It hurts. Cut me deep, Chuck.
Cut me real deep.
Cut me real deep. Yeah, like, it's a beautiful thing to recognize, one of God's children as, you know, as worthy of love and as someone who you think is very interesting and who you admire their character. But that doesn't mean that they are the one for you just because, you know, you're in a good Christian circle and you meet a nice Christian someone. yeah, it's not our responsibility to choose our spouse because the Lord has everything laid out before us. I think for me it's been easy to be like, oh, I'm in this situation and like one of these people might be my husband, so I have to like keep on lookout and I have to be on my best behavior because what if my husband's looking? Like that kind of thing. I don't know.
I gotta raise my hands during worship.
I gotta carry all these chairs because one of my husband's here and he needs to know how many chairs I can carry. Yeah, a lot of times I think it's like we think it's on us to like choose the person that we're gonna spend the rest of our life with. But more it's just like being in tune with what the Lord has and listening to his direction, because he is the one who's ultimately gonna, you know, lay out that we're gonna end up with this person if marriage is what he's called us to. The next thing I kind of want to talk about is like obsessive crushes, because a girl has been a part of that. being a marriage is something that is very like biblical and very like blessed and holy from the Lord, or it can be at least, but the devil likes to take everything that is good from the Lord and turn it for evil. So like having a crush on someone, you know, admiring them and like wanting to pursue them is a great thing, but then the devil can sort of try and like pervert that and turn it into something where you're thinking about them all the time. What are they doing? Who are they talking to? Do they like me? Or, like, you're even getting obsessive about yourself. Like, oh, should I not have said that thing? Like, is that, I don't know, just getting very obsessive with it and making sure that this other person likes you or whatever. And that kind of thing, we're losing sight of the Lord in that, like, this person has, it's kind of like, no servant can serve two masters. Like, we can't, in anything that we do, if we're putting something on the same level or above the Lord, like, we just can't, you can't devote yourself to both of those. So that's another thing with surrendering. But yeah, if we're prioritizing this person over the Lord, then we are losing the point of relationship. Because again, going back to that, the point of relationship is that two people would be joined together to further their relationship with the Lord. So yeah, it's like we're getting close to each other this way so that we can go that way. That's the ultimate purpose there. Then this one's a tough one, but nowhere in the Bible does it promise us a spouse, so that's a tough one. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that, like, just that I want something and, like, the Lord's not going to give it to me because he withholds gifts from his children. That's not what he does. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we can start to align our own desires with his desires for us and be more in tune with his plan. 1 Corinthians 7, 8 through 9. I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, since it is better to marry than to burn with desire. So here, Paul is saying that, like, it is a good thing to be single and to work on, like, your relationship with the Lord, individually before, you know, you have so many more responsibilities when you're married, and so many more things to think about. But, like, obviously we want to, like, be able to have self-control, but, it's also okay to not, be married. Like, some people are called to singleness, even if it's just for a season, and, like, Jesus didn't even get married, so, like, truthfully, you don't need it. Like, it's gonna be okay. It's, like, something that is, like, a gift from the Lord. It's not something that is promised, so, but I think one thing is just, like, that if we are surrendering what we want, we are praying to have more of, like, the Lord's discernment and his will for our lives, like, to be, like, revealed to us, then, you know, if I'm praying to God, like, oh, if I'm not supposed to be married, like, can you take this, this, like, desire to be in a relationship away? And if it's remaining there and we're still close to the Lord, like, that's maybe proof that there, that is something that he has for us. And, because, he uses our desires, but there's also a lot that we have to fight against with our flesh. So, yeah, we want to align our desires with the Lord so that we aren't fighting against our flesh. And then Psalm 37:4 is, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. So I think of that as, like, when we're taking delight in the Lord, we're dwelling with the Lord, we're getting to know him more and getting to know his plans, and in turn then, like, our plans kind of become one, and we... now our plans for our lives are what the Lord has, and then we're smooth sailing. So yeah, it's definitely difficult, but just spending more time with the Lord, praying and getting to know his character, leads to our desires falling away and being replaced by his desires. Yeah, sometimes our flesh does get in the way, but praying, like, if this crush isn't from you, take it away, and then actually surrendering it and not just thinking about it, because I think it's easy to be like, oh, if this crush isn't from you, then take it away. But I'm still thinking about it all the time and putting my effort into it. And then I'm like, oh, since it's not going away, then, like, that means it's, guys, this is definitely from the Lord. Like, this is the one. So, like, surrendering is definitely a hard thing, but being in constant prayer over that, again, like, praying without ceasing, it's great.
Yeah, I want to jump in there for a second. When I was in high school, towards the end of my senior year, I had, I don't know, a situationship, I guess you would call it, with one of my friends. And her and I were really close, and there was just kind of these feelings that developed between us, like, really sudden, all at once, and we were both kind of like, okay, well, we want to date each other, and she wasn't a Christian, and it was like, okay, Lord, what do I do with this? Because every time, like, we hang out, every time, like, I talk to her or text her or whatever, it's like, oh my word, like, I have all these feelings, like, I really want to date her, I really want to pursue this, she's an amazing person, and then every time I would sit down with the Lord and read and pray, it would be like, actually, that's not what's supposed to happen. And it was like this constant battle back and forth for almost a week of like actually getting to that place of surrender and like laying down my desires for the Lord and saying, okay, well, I'm going to choose to do what you want me to do, yeah. not where my feelings are, not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So surrender is definitely not an easy thing. It's not like, hey, I've just got this and you're good. Like, it's like,
let me just lay this down and go about my day. Like, it's a constant thing.
It's pretty real, it's pretty tough, but it's what the Lord calls us to follow His will in every aspect of our lives.
I think similarly, being in prayer about it, and I think just paying attention. I think there are so many times where, like, looking back, I ignored a lot of things. I ignored a lot of signs of, like, what could have been God telling me, hey, this isn't what I have for you. And the Lord has a way of using, like, even the most, like, yeah.
Romans 8:28.
It's literally, he uses everything. And so even if you're sitting in a place where you're saying, God, I don't know how you could use this. Like, why did you let this happen? Why did you, like, let this person hurt me? Why did you, like, not stop this? And yet, God has a way of redeeming things and using things to show His glory and His power and His might and His immense love for each and every one of us. And so I think that even if you're sitting in a place where maybe you just got out of a situationship or just got out of a bad relationship or even looking, like, at one that you're in right now, like, God can use anything. You just need to be willing to give it to Him. And I think that that goes back to, again, like, being humble and realizing that, you know, we are not higher than God. Mm-hmm. We don't know better than God. And so for us to withhold things and say, God, you can't do anything with this, is actually limiting Him. Mm-hmm. And it's putting Him in a box that He doesn't fit in, because He's just so much greater than we could ever imagine. And so by giving Him those things and allowing Him to work, and also it could be like a learning thing where it's just like, hey, there's a lesson that I need you to learn for later.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that He's causing these bad things to happen. We talk about that a lot, and it's the sense of like, He loves His children and He wants what's best for them, but it doesn't mean that He makes these bad things happen. Mm-hmm. But He can use them. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, regardless of whatever situation you're sitting in right now, just being able to trust Him that He's got you. And if you continue to try to align, your heart and your desires with His, ultimately His will is going to be what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, and not necessarily all the bad things in there. I don't want to get into the weeds of all of that right now, because we don't have time for that. But pencil that in for later. but just ultimately, the things that are going to play out, He has a purpose and a plan for how He is going to use it and how He's going to spin it.
Yeah, I like that, like, saying that, like, how He's going to spin it, because I think that sometimes, like, looking at Romans 8:28 and, like, all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose, I'm thinking, like, that because God is all-knowing and He knows everything that's going to happen, that it's okay to, like, sit in things that I know aren't from God, because I'm like, yeah, He's going to use it anyway.
Right.
But then it's, like, it's being an active participant in, like, the Lord's plan, like, you know, like, not everything that we do is His will. Mm-hmm. Like, and it, just because He's going to work it for good doesn't mean that, like, that was what He wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, He has better for you in, you know, a certain situation. So I think that sometimes I could, like, excuse my, like, my lukewarmness, because I'm like, oh yeah, he's going to turn into, like, a great testimony one day. Mm-hmm. Like, because, and it's like, it allows us to be static, because it's like, yeah, God always knew that this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's like, that doesn't mean that that's what He wanted to happen, because, you know, He allows us to have this, like, free will. So I don't know, I guess that was a bit of a tangent, but this next section, fantasizing,
which is also talking about being static and staying in it, you know.
So just to open this one, Proverbs 12:11 is, the one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies lacks sense.
Bonk.
Bonk there.
Schmodus
there. Yeah. There's a huge danger in fantasizing.
2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. And every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, we take every thought captive to obey Christ.
Oh yeah, we take every thought captive. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Going back to kind of like the obsessive crush thing, like praying that this would be taken away, but then continuing to fantasize about it. We can't pray and keep daydreaming. Like, those two things don't go together. We can't say we're surrendering something and then continue to let it take up space in our brain and entertain those thoughts. I think often we can, like, start to superimpose, like, mental situations onto reality. Like, we're thinking about this person and them doing, like, a really sweet thing for us. Or we're, you know, I don't know, going on this great date and it's so romantic and it's perfect. And then, like, we're treating it like that is what's actually happening. And that's where, like, the danger is of it. Because sometimes you can make out a person to be, like, better than they are. Because you're like imagining that they're doing all these amazing things, but it's like that's not how they're actually treating you in real life. And also just like truthfully, fantasizing can lead to a lot of compromise. It can lead to lust when we're starting to imagine this person doing certain things and then we're dishonoring that person, we're dishonoring ourselves, and like that's not good ground for a holy relationship. So you know, surrendering all of those things, all of those fantasies and wants, that might be like very Hollywood, very very TV-esque, like this is what we want out of a relationship, but surrendering those and just trusting that that like reality is where we need to live in, and we need to live in like here, and we need to live in our prayers. So anything else anybody wants to add?
Just that last part of verse 5 from 2 Corinthians 10. My version says, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Yeah.
Just like, again, making it obedient.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, like, we don't let our thoughts rule us.
Yeah.
I think that's within a lot of, like, even, like, conversations about mental health. It's like, you may struggle with something, but it doesn't mean it has to rule your life.
Yeah.
You still have a say in what you are going to, you know, and those types of things are really hard to fight against, like lust and and all of those like things that happen up here that nobody knows.
Yeah.
Like
nobody knows.
They only know what you tell them, and so it allows us to sit in our minds and say, well, nobody knows, so it's fine. It's not a big deal. The only person that knows is God, and He's going to spin it for my good anyway, or for His good.
It's such a toxic mindset,
you know.
But it's so
like,
easy to get into.
Because it's just not healthy. And not only are you dishonoring yourself and the other person, you're also dishonoring God and what He has designed. And that sucks. Like that's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what you said about the, we can't pray and keep daydreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just can't.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, like, serving two masters.
Yeah, it's like we're saying one thing. We're saying that we're surrendering these feelings, and then we're doing this in our brain. We're still thinking about it.
Yeah.
And but I like, the whole, like, taking captive every thought, like, just knowing that, like, we can't take captive every thought on our own.
Correct.
But
yeah.
Like actually inviting Jesus into that, and like, you know, you never would have the self-control to do it on your own, but allowing Jesus to be like, hey, like I'm choosing you over this, like you and enter into my life and my mind and take these thoughts away. And He does it, friends.
I think it reminds me of the verse, like Romans 12:1. I know you read Romans 12:2, but like that we were supposed to, that our bodies are a living sacrifice, and that like you're called to present them to God, and that's our form of spiritual worship. Like that's how we worship God with our lives, is presenting our bodies, our minds, our thoughts, our hearts, everything that goes on inside of us. We can give it to God and say, like, okay, God, change me if this isn't right, but also like, God, I'm, you know, striving to obey you, and so like, making me more like you in that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's kind of closing out our waiting section, like the time before we're in a relationship. Yeah, so the next section is talking about standards.
Whoa.
So how do we have like biblical standards for people while also allowing some of the grace that that Jesus has given to us? So So yeah. Well, actually, I have another little blurb, guys.
Yay!
You're way too proud about your words.
And my blurb. Okay.
I think they're great.
No, they are really good.
Hey, Rachel, you're great. We're glad you're here.
My blurb.
I'm an English major, Rachel.
Yes. How do we explore our thresholds/standards for a relationship within the context of the Bible while still extending grace for when people fall short? How do we, Caleb?
Whoa. Yeah, so, standards. I think, as I said before, the Bible is not explicitly always giving us a clear picture of, hey, this is what the person that you are going to marry is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's a million people in the world. How are we ever going to find or pick the one that, you know, God has for us? But, you know, that's
sadly, the Bible doesn't write to First Caleb.
Exactly. Like, it's not like, hey, this is the woman that you're going to marry.
Go.
Like, she's going to have blonde hair and have brown eyes. You know, like, it doesn't exist.
Her full government name.
Like, social security number. Like, it's not like that. And
darn.
I know it's easy to joke about it, but it's also, like, it's very real to be like, okay, God, like, well, this person's amazing, but there's just one thing, but, like, is it fine? Is it not fine? Like, how do we know, like, what are standards that we should have? Because it's important to have high standards, but it's also important to understand that, like, God is going to give us who he wants to give us, regardless of what we feel, who we should date. And so the first standard, and this is kind of woven in everything about their lives, is that they are pursuing the Lord, pursuing individual godliness, being in the Word, reading the Bible in prayer, spending time with him to better represent his character, to better be more like him. Yeah, and so Proverbs 31:30, I'll just read it
anyway. Proverbs
31! I know.
Proverbs 31, woman!
Exactly. This is the end of Proverbs where everybody quotes, and you know, you see all the TikToks and Instagram reels.
You're a Proverbs 31 woman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like,
how many chairs can you carry? Sorry.
But like, that's the way our culture kind of sees it, right? Is we're like, oh, you gotta be this. But like, the end of the chapter is this one verse where it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised.
Yeah.
And so like, that's kind of the summary of the entire chapter. Where everything that we see on the outside, the emotions that we feel, the jokes, the funny, the flirting, the beautiful, is all going to fade and is fleeting. But someone who fears the Lord is dedicated to them, is to be praised and is to be honored. And this goes for men and women, both. It's not, you know, this proverb can be applied both ways. And so it's important to understand that, like, they need to be committed to the Lord. And if they're not, that is something where the Lord is most likely not taking you down that path. He calls us to be committed to the person, committed to God before we're committed to another person. And the mindset that I think we get caught up in a lot in Christian circles is like, oh, well, I really like this person, but they're not a Christian, so I'm just going to go, like, bring them to church, bring them to my youth group a couple times. Like, that's not how it's supposed to be. Like, we are not the savior of that person. Like, we are not, we don't have the responsibility. We should never feel the responsibility for their salvation.
And we don't have the authority.
Absolutely.
Nothing is on us. We, as Christians, are called to share, to witness, to present our love into their lives. But it is ultimately Jesus that changes hearts. And so we can't be
We get prideful with that sometimes. We're like, I can fix him. Exactly. Like, how, I don't know. It's just like, I helped this person, regain a relationship with Jesus. Like, you might have, planted a seed, but you're not watering that thing. That's the Lord is in charge of that growing.
Dating someone who isn't a Christian, we kind of will have, two viewpoints going into that relationship. So, we're coming at it from, we're, a belief in the Lord and faith in God and things like that, but this other person is, I don't like to, I've said this every time we've given it the seminar, I don't like to call it, levels of, faith, but it kind of is, like, how devoted are you? This other person is not, and you are. Like, one of these things is gonna win out, or it's gonna even out, so it's either, this person is gonna draw you down. Like, we always like to think it's like, oh yeah, like, I'll be able to, bring them up, and then we can both be, serving together, but that's just not our job. Nor, can we. You can't believe for someone, and you can't, be devoted for someone. So, just knowing the dangers of, we think we can fix them, but, are we gonna sacrifice our own faith for this relationship? And, just kind of weighing into that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like I said before, it's just very important to understand that, like, yeah, like, that's not our job. That's not who we are, as we're called to live out our lives with the Lord individually. Like, our faith is not dependent on somebody else, and somebody else's faith should not be dependent on ours. There's two chapters in the Bible where people often quote from, talk about marriage and talk about things. It's Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. In both, Paul is giving instruction to the churches about, you know, how things should function between the wives and the husbands, and how they should love each other, and just have this mutual partnership before the Lord. But both of the passages where he talks about relationships come at the end of those chapters. And before then, in the chapters, he talks about, he emphasizes very heavily just, like, individual godliness and who we should be and how we should live, the things that we should do, the things that we should not do as Christians. And so just, like, the sequential ordering of the chapters is very clear that it's, like, we're supposed to focus on godliness before we are going to pursue a relationship.
That was even, like, a biblical context thing. Like in these old, like, Hebrew and Roman, like, languages, order was, like, so important. So, like, the order that he says it is not accidental. This is, like, you know, the order of your priorities. Like, fortify yourself before you get into a relationship. It literally is.
No, it is. And it's one of those things where, I know we've talked a lot about, like, you know, we're looking at the other person, we're saying, like, they should be a godly man or woman of the Lord, but it's also, like, that's us, too. Like, we cannot expect to, like, uphold a relationship to love and serve and to care for someone truly if we are not loving and being devoted to the Lord in our own personal prayer time. And so,
yeah, behind closed doors.
Exactly. Like, it's more often than not, like, we have to look at ourselves first. It's oftentimes, like you said, like, what we're doing, not as the Pharisees did, like, praying when you're with your significant other, or praying when you're around your family or with a youth group, but, like, what are you doing when no one's watching? Like, in times when it's just you and the Lord, like, that is the time where you get to meet him and he gets to change you. And so, yeah, you and the other person need to be both pursuing individual godliness before you guys should be pursuing a relationship.
We're just going to talk a little bit now about, like, how our these standards, like, displayed in people, some ground rules, because it is really, it's really hard to be like, here at the Past Assault podcast, here's a list of what your partner should check off, because, you know, it's just different for everyone. It's different for your own convictions with the Lord, what the Lord is calling you to, those kind of things. So, just in general, like, someone who respects your boundaries and your convictions, someone who's not going to try and, like, make you do something that you're uncomfortable with or that you don't, like, believe in. Two people who aren't completely dependent on each other, because, as Caleb mentioned earlier, like, dating is still single in the Bible. They didn't really have dating, so, like, just getting to know someone is not, you know, being joined in one flesh in marriage. So, I would say even in marriage, you're not completely dependent on each other. Like, the Lord is who you're after. Oh my gosh, it was one of my mom's friend's daughter got married, like, a couple years ago or whatever, and her husband in the vows was like, I promise to love the Lord and then I will, and then you, like, that order. And I was like, oh, that's beautiful. Like, yeah, like, you shouldn't love me more than the Lord. So, just not being dependent on each other. Because, again, like, if you don't take anything else from this about relationships, take it that marriage is two people joining together with the intention to grow their relationship with the Lord. So that's, like, that is, you know, it's not, all of these other things are just, like, bonuses. Like, like, affection and care and service to each other is a bonus for, you know, being joined as one flesh to follow the Lord.
Because if you're if you're doing that, those other things will fall into place.
Yes, exactly.
Because if you are loving God,
the core.
If you are loving God, then you are ultimately going to end up loving other people the way that you are supposed to. And so that is your foundation. That's your foundation for everything. Going into any relationship, any friendship, even your relationship with yourself, like, if you are ultimately focusing on following and loving God first, the rest of it will fall into place. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's ultimately how that works.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Then, like, the next one is 1 Corinthians 13. This is the whole, like,
classic.
Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, is not boastful. Would recommend reading through this whole chapter. And before you go and like and compare it to someone else, I think like it's important to look in the mirror. Like, am I these things? Rachel is patient. Rachel is kind. Rachel could be more patient. You know, like working on your again like individual godliness before you do it. But these are good like fruitful things to look for in a partner. Like if you're like, wow, like, oh, this person does envy and is boastful, like, you know, maybe not. And I think just like comparing biblical characters and traits, like comparing someone to Jesus, is an amazing thing. Obviously not with like the same like exact things, but like
they're not gonna be Jesus.
They're not gonna be Jesus. But someone who looks like Jesus is someone who is, you know, probably pretty good person. wow, that's
or
crazy.
Someone who is trying,
someone
to,
who
be
is
like
trying
Jesus.
To be like Jesus.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Because
we all try. Yeah. We're all trying.
Yeah. Someone who is, you know, open to like a communication and
communication. We could end it there.
Yeah, we actually could.
Communication is so important.
Good communication.
Yeah.
I know. Hope you kind of talked about it earlier with like seeking wise counsel. Mm-hmm. Is like a good like standard for before you enter a relationship. Like, you can often really be blinded by emotions and by like a fun flirty vibe, and you're like, yeah, this is definitely the one. But someone from an outside perspective who knows you, who knows the situation, like will give you an answer, and you may not like it or want to hear it, but they like you, just trusting like your like youth leaders, or if you're close, like your parents. Even just like someone who's like a mentor person who's a little older than you, or even like trusted peers who can be like objective about it. It's really, really important, I think, to get like an outside perspective, because we're always going to be tunnel vision on like, this has to be right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Lastly, grace. Sometimes people mess up. Sometimes we mess up. So it is important. I think that just that's like a great way to put it, of like, this person is trying to be like Jesus, is trying to look like Jesus and walk like Jesus. But it is important that they are open to communication and forgiveness, that they like admit when they've done something wrong, and that, and all of these things also go for you finding a relationship. Don't hold people to standards that you wouldn't hold yourself to. But also
really
have standards that you value, because you deserve to be treated well. I mean, I think also just going back to like the very beginning of like, consult the Lord about it. Like, you know, that's just ultimately where you're going to get your answer from. So, my blurb.
Yes!
But,
I'm a big fan. I love it.
Yeah. Just to, because I know it's like a lot of information, but having something like easy to remember it by, I've summarized it into three things. Three things. Okay, that's always sermon notes, you gotta have
three things.
But this is a summary of this whole thing, if you weren't paying attention at all. Trust God's timing. Don't allow yourself to be swept up with the idea of someone, and don't sacrifice your standards for someone who will lead you away from the Lord.
I know you guys definitely had a Q&A. There's a couple of questions that came up during, at least when I was there in Kentucky, versus, I'm sure there were some questions. Were there any that you remember that you could maybe give as just like a couple of bullet points or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one question I think I remember when we did this PA Revive, somebody asked, like, how do we discern what the Lord's voice is?
And,
like, how do we like, know what's his voice and what's our emotions? And it's one of those things where it's like,
I literally said, I'd love to know.
Like,
if you figure it out, let me know.
But I do think, like, pray and then listen to the Lord's peace, because his peace transcends all understanding.
Yeah.
And will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Like, that's the promise that he has for us in his word. And so, like, he's faithful to protect us, to guard us. Also, relationships, and also, like, anything in life that's generally, if there's peace, it's from the Lord, and if it's not, you know, God doesn't give us anxiety. Anything that's of that nature, that is unrest, anxiousness, nervousness, is not from the Lord. Mm-hmm. He will give us peace and guidance and direction.
Yeah.
Ask for.
Yeah, and I think, like, kind of going off of that, like, you mentioned kind of about prayer journaling earlier, but, yeah, like, we pray for something. I think just like just writing it down so that you don't have to think about it anymore, like that is just such a helpful thing. And like allowing his peace to be on you, because I think sometimes it's like, yeah, I prayed for this, but I'm still taking up all my brain think space thinking about it.
You brain thinking me there?
Exactly. I brain thinking, yeah, the person there. Yeah. So I think just like getting it there, like that is a physical act of surrender, where I'm not saying that I'm perfect, like whenever I write it down, then I don't think about it at all, and la la la. But, you know, it makes it a little bit easier that like, okay, I got everything out, now I can like get that aside.
Yeah.
I can go about things. I feel like the other thing was in Kentucky about like how important it is to like define the relationship. That was just a good question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just kind of going back to like important that like this that like being open to communication and stuff, like it was definitely a thing last summer. We kind of said it this summer, but clarity is kindness.
Yeah.
Clarity is kindness is a great catchphrase.
Yes.
Yeah, just like there can be a lot of like confusion with your feelings and emotions and stuff, but like, you know, just talking about it and not letting, you know, not letting that like confusion and anxiety and uncertainty like dwell, but like being open to like, let's actually talk about what's going on and let's decide what we're gonna do, because like let's pray about it. Yeah. It just tend to remove like a lot of the confusion about things. So I would say pretty important. It could be really awkward, but then, you know, it's worth it, I think.
Again, I will go back to something that was said towards the beginning of the summer. I would much rather have surface tension and deep peace than surface peace and deep tension.
Yep.
Or something.
So
I think
unity.
Oh, wait, right. That's so good. I change that word every time.
No, okay.
I'm like, there's like the
works,
one word where I'm like,
you got the gist.
But,
good. Yeah.
But yeah, rather have that like awkward conversation as much as it's like really uncomfy.
Yeah.
And if needed, bring a mediator into it too. Because I think that's something we overlook a lot. Someone who will keep both of you accountable when you're not keeping each other accountable.
Yeah, well, that's actually interesting that you brought that up, because I have a friend, or I have two friends, I'm friends with both of them, and they just had, like, one of them liked the other one, and the other one did not like them back, and, like, it just, they just weren't talking about it, and I was like, this is where, like, you guys were so close, and now, like, you didn't just, like, sit down and talk about what happened, and talk about, like, what you're gonna do, and now there's just, like, a rift going on. So like I'm trying to be the person where like I am talking to, it's not like it's not my responsibility, and I'm not like deep in it, guys, don't worry. It's a hard thing to like hear from someone this, and then like you don't want to be like, oh, but like, just to play devil's advocate, you know, like that kind of thing. But like like I'm not gonna be someone, I'm not a yes man. I'm gonna like tell you how it is gently. But like that's a hard thing to be like, I think that you could have handled this differently, and a lot. It's a hard thing to hear, hard thing to say, but like open communication like that is like how you have deep unity and surface tension. Like resolving that surface tension instead of it being like, we're good up here, but really like there's a lot of tension under the surface.
And when there's deep unity, that surface tension can be solved quickly.
Yes, exactly.
There have been so many times like over this last year where friends and I have had like small quarrels. I know we were talking about stuff, like small quarrels. But because we had depth, we were like, oh, hey, just so you know, here's this thing to be aware of. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks for letting me know.
We were like, Hope and I have been friends for, like, over a year. And, like, for the first, like year, maybe, we, like, didn't fight at all. And, like,
I wouldn't even say we necessarily fight now.
No,
now we're getting, like, a friendship podcast.
Yeah, like, let's talk about Hope and I's friendship. But, like, just, like, now we've, it's, like, a couple times where there's just, like, little things, and we were able to, like, just, like, actually talk about them, and, like, just that communication is just so important, and, like, having, that deep trust beforehand, deep unity is, like, the reason you get through it. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And especially in dating relationships.
Yeah. And just go into it without an agenda.
Yes. If that is not something that can happen, I can tell you, like, that's probably not what the Lord has for you.
Yeah.
If there is so much uncertainty, like, it's okay for you to not fully know what's next, right? But, like, if there is a lot of discomfort and a lot of just, like, uncertainty and worrying, like, I think, Caleb, you said that earlier, you know, like, if you're rooted in this anxiety and worry about it, it's a that's like God doesn't have that for us.
Yeah, like God's love is not confusing. So like if we're about to pursue something that feels really confusing, that's probably not the Lord.
Yeah,
I'd say just, I mean, two things, right? Communication with the other person, like, be straight up about it. I'm feeling this, and, like, that will resolve, like you said, like, the tension, bring peace to the situation, like, do it. It's gonna be uncomfortable, but just do it. It's communicate with other people, and then communication with the Lord. Like, that's pretty much what it boils down to. You have to be communicating both ways.
Yeah.
Praying,
yeah.
talking to the Lord, reading the Bible, talking to the other person, asking them, hey, can you pray about this? What are you feeling? Like, it's gotta go both ways.
Yeah.
That sums it up pretty well. Yeah!
Passed it.
Told them on three. 1, 2, 3. Told them. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this podcast episode. Be sure to check out the other seminar series episodes. And we'll catch you
on the flip side. Oh my gosh.
Yeah!
Crazy transition.
And the next time we go like this,
welcome back.
Wait, I think we just figured that out.
That's good.
Hi! Bye! Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cast of Some Podcast.
Can we redo that? Fortify yourself before you get into a relationship.
A swap. No grace yet.
Cast all your cares on Rachel.